The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. That can only mean this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live as always. Where else are you going to get an hour of absolutely free, wonderful information that could literally help your finances for the rest of your life, except here? As usual, we will be talking about things that we would like to talk about unless you pick up the phone and dial 222-TALK. That's 222-8255 in the 904 area code. At that point, you will be put to the head of the line, and we will talk about what you would like to talk about, which kind of makes it even better advice for the same amount of money, being none. And if you think that's a bargain, you can come and see us for the same price. It's just not every week it's going to be the same price.
It isn't?
Not to come back once a week.
Well, the same person.
Same person, yeah. Yes. Everybody, though. In fact, I think I'm very seriously considering giving the show away free today. I wish the station would one time say that to me.
That would be nice.
They never have.
Yeah.
But I digress. All right. We welcome back all the regulars. Thanks so much for always being here. We really do depend on you. And if you're new to the show, either on purpose or by accident, please try to stick around for a while. There are so many things that you can do while you're getting smarter financially, from driving your car to, who knows, fixing a flat in a Chick-fil-A drive-up or most anything.
Wow. Yeah, that was random.
Not really.
Did that happen to you or something?
No. Okay. It happened to Marshall.
Ah.
But anyway, like I said, I digress. It must be the mood I'm in today. It certainly isn't because it was such a blockbuster week in the markets. But sometimes it doesn't take much news to feel pretty good. And I think this might qualify as one of those weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it felt pretty good to me.
I thought it felt pretty bad.
Did you?
Yeah, I sure did.
Well, that shows you. When nothing happens,
yeah. You
can take it either way.
And I wasn't alone. And I'll tell you why I know
that. Please do.
In a little bit. But, yeah, it was about as flat a week as you can find. But I'll take it. I mean, it was... Flat weeks are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. Sometimes you need that just to let the moving averages get closer to the actual trading levels. And the one thing it really did do was it caused a pretty drastic drop in bullish sentiment.
That was one of the reasons that I got real happy before the show, because I was reading about that.
Exactly.
And whatever they think, they being the public, we tend to think otherwise.
Well, it's not just us. I mean, a lot of people view it as a contrarian indicator. That mm-hmm. means that whenever mom and pop investors are thinking everything is great, it's time to get in, that is not the time to get
That's
in.
Scary.
That's the time to get out.
That's so, like 2006 when everybody was buying up a home or two and taking big mortgages.
Yep.
Look what happened.
Exactly. When the way I heard it put was when the little old lady gets in the taxi cab and is talking to her driver about how they're both buying and flipping houses, that is not the time you want to be flipping houses.
No.
Leave that to the professionals. When they're doing it, that's a good time to do it. When they're getting out and the people who have no experience are getting in, that's a bad time.
That's
same exactly. thing in the market. So yeah. So when mom and pop get scared, you're going to see, you tend to see periods of outperformance. Yeah. So that's good. The other interesting thing was this week, both bullish and bearish sentiment dropped. So it was kind of a very neutral week, just all around.
Reflected in the results.
The performance this week, the Dow led the way. It moved 20 basis points to the upside.
Woo-wee-doo.
Yeah. The S&P end of the week with within 1 point of where it started, it was a 0% change, and the NASDAQ dropped a whole 0.1%. So for the quarter, all three look much better, also the month, with the NASDAQ up 4.1, the Dow up 3.2, and the S&P up 3.1. So whoever, if you remember, I said don't listen to that sell in May and go away, and so far so good on that advice. Mm-hmm. For the year, only three sectors are ahead of the S&P 500's gain of 4.8%. Technology is leading the way. It's up 15.9%. Consumer discretionary is up 14.1%. And then healthcare is just ahead of the S&P at 4.9%. Energy made a pretty strong move to get back into the black, up 3.7% year to date, but it still lags the overall index. And then the worst performer is telecom. If that sounds familiar, that's because you probably heard it last year as well. It's down 11.9%. And then consumer staples and materials are just ahead of telecom, but still looking pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the U.S.
This is the antithesis of 2016, where only the FANG stocks made money.
Right.
Now, this is really a broad-based general market rise that we're experiencing now. It's easier to find exceptions than it is finding exceptions in 2016 where all that was five stocks.
Yeah. A
couple places that it's down, but generally a lot of things are above their 50-day moving average.
That's true.
That percentage is growing on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and I like that action because it doesn't require you to own Apple or something like that.
That's also true, although technology still is by far the clear winner.
Biggie, yeah. So QQQ is humming.
Yeah, a lot of this was caused by the drop in February, so we're still seeing everything shake out from that. No, we're still not back to our previous highs except in the NASDAQ, so a lot of this is still trying to regain those previous highs set in January.
We can't say, technically, that we're still in a bull market.
We cannot.
We need to take out the old highs on the S&P and the Dow, and at that point we can say this is now officially the second longest bull market in history.
That's right. There are some leading indicators that would indicate that mm-hmm. we are going to do that, but they're not reliable enough to say that it's definitely going to happen.
That is true.
So outside of the U.S., it's been a pretty bad year for stocks. China dropped again this week and brought the total performance for 2018 to -16.3%. Ouch.
Who do they think is going to win the trade war?
There you go. It's a direct result of the quote-unquote trade wars that Trump is stirring up, and China has a lot more to lose than the U.S. does in this battle. So I think he's kind of betting on that they'll flinch first, but they're also a very face-driven. They don't want to lose. They don't want to appear to have been weak towards us. So some of that might go on behind the scenes, and we might not hear about it, but I assume that that's what he's trying to do.
Very quietly, there was a trade deal signed that eliminated tariffs between two other countries. And you know, that's going to set the stage for exactly what Trump's trying to do, which is get rid of tariffs.
I certainly hope so. We'll see how that all plays out.
We will.
The other person or the other group of people that are going to get hurt in this are the U.S. consumer, because all of those goods that we do import from China, we buy, and they would all go up in price. So that would hurt us in the pocketbook a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still, it's way too early to tell if it's going to happen or not, but that would be the other area that would be hurt. So Brazil made a pretty astonishing rebound this month, gaining more than 12% in July. They're still down 9% for the year, but this past week alone, we saw a 5% gain. So they're not out of the woods yet, but it really helped the emerging markets index overall. Still down about 6% on the year, but you can see that improvement because Brazil is such a big part of that. So that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on. And then markets in Europe have been mixed this year. Most have not seen huge movements in either direction. For example, the UK, despite all the Brexit talk, is down less than 1% year to date. So Europe is just kind of flat. Brazil looks to be coming back. China, ouch.
Yeah, Theresa May kind of got her... how should I put this nicely? She kind of got her attitude readjusted a little bit when Trump was there. She's been trying to pull what she calls a soft Brexit. Mm-hmm. And what it means is we'll say we're leaving, but we're not really leaving, are we? So
they need to do it. They need to pull the trigger.
But when you get a majority of 5 or 6% in any country about anything anymore, that is an overwhelming mandate. So you got to do it. You're absolutely right. All right. Well, we'll have the trivia question when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question today. It, once again, it involves financial people, advisors, as it were.
Okay.
How about that? Do you know that the average person over the long haul as an investor actually does better if they use a financial advisor than the peer group who does not use a financial advisor?
Well,
we would like to think that, wouldn't we?
I did know that, actually, but I've read a lot about it. So,
Because, after all, in our day jobs, that is precisely what we do. My question is, how much better do people who use advisors do, on average, than the group who doesn't use it? And I'll take it, it's an even number of percentage points. And I will take anything within, Adam knows the range, it's a very tight range. But try to figure that out.
All right.
Meanwhile, the only thing boring about this week was the results. As Adam pointed out, getting there was really a lot of complicated stuff, and we have not wrapped it all up yet. So we're going to just carry on a little bit in the market wrap and tell you about some things that were actually going on that are important.
It was kind of funny. I was writing this last night, and I actually ran out of room on my page. And before I got to everything I wanted to talk about. But commodities, I wanted to touch on them a little bit. They have really taken a turn for the worse in July after a very strong start to the year. The index has lost more than 4% this month alone, still up 2% on the year, and oil has been a pretty strong part of both of those moves. It's added more than 18% over the year, but it's down close to 6% in July. So it's really, it helped the index on the way up in the beginning of the year, and it's helped bring it down in July. So just something to keep an eye on. It's been a while since we've seen stuff like that in commodities. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know the rules, folks. Callers to the head of the line. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Adam.
What's up today?
Hey, do you know next week is what they call Big Week?
Big Week. Is that earnings-wise, or what's the...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's a ton of...
More than 500 companies reporting next week.
Yeah, so like about a year ago, on one of Cramer's Friday game plans, mm-hmm. he did something that I was already familiar with from studying World War II. And Big Week in World War II was a week when the Allies bombed the hell out of the Nazis and sent 1,000 B-17s and B-24s over each day for a whole week. And they were trying to demoralize them and engage them. And so anyway, Cramer did a game plan where he called this week where, you know, the major companies report, like we have Amazon, Facebook, Google, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of S&P companies.
Right.
And so he tied those two together. So this is what I call and what he's called Big Week, which is, you know, this is the biggest week of earnings, you know, each quarter.
Right. It is. That's right.
Yeah.
I agree with his assessment. I don't always agree with Cramer, but on this one I do.
Yeah. He's interesting.
He is very interesting.
I can't think of a better word. So what's your prediction now? Adam and I were discussing in the break that neither of us can understand why the world is so negative. Everything's negative now, and I know it's largely political, but financial, too. Financial people are so negative.
They are.
They're saying, oh, well, the earnings beat rate may be a spectacular 73.8%, but just wait. Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, once you wait a week, you'll know. If you pretty much look at, historically, every quarter, the first 2 or 3 weeks of the quarter, their earnings war reports come out of the woodwork and mm-hmm. are all over the airwaves.
Sure.
Trying to talk the market down. And everybody's worried, oh, these earnings aren't going to be as good as predicted. And then usually they end up being better than predicted. And we'll have to see what happens next week during Big Week. But, you know, I think that's when things start to turn around.
You have to wonder if those negative talking heads are buying in large chunks right before they go on Bloomberg and Fox Business.
You wonder,
and
don't
talk
you?
It down, because it is, it's just like clockwork. You're right. Every quarter, the first few weeks, you can't turn on the TV to a business channel without seeing that.
Does that sound familiar if I would say Christmas sales?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the media starts in about, it'll probably happen starting in October, where, oh, this is going to be such a dismal Christmas season, and they'll cry all the way through Thanksgiving, and they'll cry all the way through Christmas, and then after the first of the year, the numbers come in, they say, oh, well, it was actually pretty good. And it happens every year. It's unbelievable. That's why we're so contrary. Whatever you hear is probably wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you play that? You wait and see. I never anticipate the market. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think next week will tell a lot about how the market's going to be. But, I'm fascinated by your question. I'm going to take a stab at it and say, your trivia question, I'm going to take a stab at it and say 3%. 3%?
Well, that was a pretty accurate stab since you nailed it. Now, if you're using an advisor who, let's just throw out a number, 1%, and you're getting a 3% better return, who costs money and who makes money, or is everybody happy?
Yeah, so we would have taken 2% because that would have been the net gain.
Yeah, I didn't specify whether it was gross or net of a 1% fee, and we charge anywhere from 1.5% down to 1% depending on the size of the account. But on average, it's a 1% pay the advisor, and you get 3% on average back. Now, we can't promise it. We won't promise it. Nobody can promise it. But those are the statistics, and statistically, it pays to use a financial advisor, which I find very interesting. How about that? So good job. How about we put you on hold? We'll get your address and send you a little something from Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm.
I'm sure we've got his address. I'm pretty sure Chuck has one before, but still just in case, give it to Ellen, and we'll take it anyway.
All right, good. Anything else today, Chuck?
I think he's gone.
All right. Good morning, Ron.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Recently, I sold a covered call that is due this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I sold it at 109, and the stock is already above 111. And as of Friday, I still own the stock. I'm not sure exactly when someone's going to come along and buy my stock at 109.
Probably on or before expiration date.
Okay.
That is the downside to covered calls.
Yeah.
You just learned it.
Hand it over, fella.
I'm still making money. I'm not probably making as much as I could have.
Okay. Well, good. It covered that spread. So
exactly.
That's why it's
such a wonderful philosophy. But you got to take the time to study it. You got to know exactly what you're doing. Have you ever charted options on a piece of paper, a graph paper? It tells you exactly where you break even and hold and make money and all that. If you look it up, learning to chart those things, you'd be amazed how much you'll learn just learning to do the charts. It's incredible.
Okay. Now, my other question was, it's at 111 currently. What if it's J.P. Morgan. What if J.P. Morgan suddenly slides and it goes back to, let's say, 109?
Yeah.
Would somebody exercise the call?
Nope.
Most
at 110, or would they, just?
I mean, it's possible.
It depends if it's in the money at all. If it's in the money, it'll happen. If it's out of the money, and that's what the charting will tell you. It shows you the exact point at which your call is no longer in the money.
Right.
Okay.
And so the odds are that if it drops, then you won't. You will still own
those
shares.
You still own the stock. Yeah. You sell another covered call. Pocket the money from the other one.
Right.
Right. And I sold it for $1.08, so I figure my break even point, as far as I could have made more, is 110.
Yep.
08. Yep. So I'm only $1 a share. It's like 111.11 right now. I'm only $1 a share. Worse off than I would have been if I hadn't sold it.
Right.
Good luck. Maybe it'll drop, and you can do it all over again.
And if it doesn't, I can always buy it back and do this again.
Exactly. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Very good strategy. I talked to you about this about 3 weeks ago.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and I just fell onto it. So I think I'm going to continue to do this. This is a good thing.
You'll get real comfortable, and you'll get really good at graphing it. You just glance at that graph, and it'll tell you exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite amazing.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you again. Keep up the good work, and enjoy your show. I listen to you every week.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
So a couple of things I think that brought up a couple of great topics. Yeah. One is that's one thing you have to be careful with covered calls, is that if you have highly appreciated stock in a taxable account, you'd not want to write covered calls on it, because there is always the possibility that you will have to sell those shares. And that if Ron, let's say he purchased these a long time ago at $30 and now he has to sell them at 109 because he got called, and that would be a huge capital gains issue for him. So
that's why it makes so much sense to do it in an IRA.
Right, right.
And that is, as we said a couple of weeks ago, that is the only type of option play you can do in an IRA, because it's the one that carries the least risk.
But what normally happens in a cover call is that he sold that for $1.08, and someone had that option owned, and it would most likely outcome is that it would expire. Ron gets the $1.08 a share, still owns his stock, which didn't really move that much during the time period he owned it. So he essentially charged someone else rent to borrow that stock for a while.
Yeah. And if it ran up Monday, for instance, to 113, somebody's probably just going to exercise that thing. Boom, they'll take his stock and they'll simultaneously sell it,
exactly.
Pocket the $2 or $3 difference, and then they'll go back to work and do it again.
Yep.
You can learn a lot about these online, Investopedia. There are a number of ways you can do it. But I really like the charting. When I was studying for the CFP exam many, many years ago, I learned how to do all of that. And you can't imagine how much clearer it becomes exactly what you're doing. All right, we've got a little more wrap-up to do right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The country and western tourist town of Branson, Missouri, still in mourning today, and a lot of question marks about exactly how one of those amphibious duck boats managed to capsize and sink in stormy weather in the deadliest such incident in almost two decades this week. The NTSB says that one duck boat managed to make it back to shore, even though a storm had kicked up on the lake. Again, 16 of the passengers died, as well as the operator of that duck boat. States now looking at ways to repel any interference in the election process in the lead up to the midterm elections. Senator James Lankford is a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee and told the Salem Radio Network this week that his home state of Oklahoma was one of many states that was hacked during the 2016 elections. He says that Russians were able to get into the voter registration rules in one state, but were not able to change any votes. More details at srnnews.com.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a health care plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. That's why Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is proud to be an Amana A-plus dealer and can fix and service any maker model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyderman and Amana. License number CAC 1813307.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Hey, there's a crash in St. John's County blocking the right shoulder over there at 95 North at mile marker 325. Well, most of the day, looking at mostly sunny skies, a little bit of rain in the offing, about a 20% chance, a high today of 91, overnight low about 77, cloudy for Sunday. 50% chance of rain, high near 90. It's currently 81 and AM 600 WBOB.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And you know, that trivia question got answered so quickly, I never really got to fully credit to Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 636-7888, and that is a 904 number. And more than likely, Ken will pick up the phone himself.
And as far as the what you would win is, I had lunch with Ken yesterday at the Homestead restaurant, and he is going to get cards from the Homestead. We don't have them yet, so I know I owe one from last week to Edward and now Chuck, so just hold on. I will have those for you shortly.
And speaking of Edward, you know that it is a proven fact that people who listen to talk radio are the smartest audience of any particular audience for any kind of media in the country. And that was proven last week because he did a time value of money trivia question in his head and nailed it.
And I'll tell you, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I can hold my own. Oh, my gosh. Did I screw that up?
Why did he put his foot in his mouth there? Huh?
Dad is always right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I tell him. But I couldn't do that calculation in my head. So, wow. I'm impressed.
It just proves it. You know, Rush Limbaugh has said for years, all of his polling, every time comes out the same, the smartest audience in the world is that listening to talk radio. So, you kind of got to believe it when it's staring you right in the face, right? Anyway, we have just a couple more comments on that before I move along, and you can pick
a couple more. I just wanted to real briefly touch on fixed income. It's been rebounding pretty strongly here in this part of the year, but this week was kind of an exception to that. The only bright spot was short treasuries gained 2 basis points. Every other classification of bond was more or less down this week. And the aggregate bond market is still down around 1.5% on the year. So we've got probably 2 more rate hikes this year, although Trump has really been rallying against that. I don't understand that at all.
No, I don't either.
But whatever. He's not going to be able to affect it. Trust me, the Fed's going to do what the Fed's going to do. Yeah. And that is probably not going to be favorable for bonds in the short term. So I don't know if we'll get back to positive for the year, but we should see a little bit of improvement and then some declines around those rate hikes is my speculation.
I'll give you the reason for that. The more rate hikes we get, the stronger the dollar gets because demand for dollars go up when they're paying you better. He doesn't want the dollar any stronger because it makes it very difficult for our manufacturers and other exporters to make money because our goods become more expensive to other people when the dollar gets higher. So a lower dollar means more production at home. A higher dollar can mean less. On the other hand, we are at capacity in terms of our labor force.
Yeah. And, you know, with rate hikes, there's always an upside and a downside.
Always.
Same thing with rate cuts. There's always an upside and a downside. So right now, I think I understand why he's saying it, but he's just flat out wrong, in my opinion, because we talk about it weekly that we've been punishing savers for too long. We need to get back to a normal long-term historic trend interest rate level, and we are not there yet. But
no, and the market's only factoring in the next 18 months, 2 or 3 more quarter-point increases, and I think they're just naively low.
I think it's a little low, too. I think we're looking at five. Yeah, I would guess at least 4.
Yeah, but we'll see. As you said, the Fed will do what the Fed will do, and it will not matter one iota to them what he says or what you say or what I say.
Absolutely not. And it shouldn't. And that's good. There should be a separation. It should matter what I say. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something.
So we touched briefly on earnings. I want to go a little bit deeper, not too deep because it's pretty early in the season. But the earnings beat rate so far looks great. It's at 73.6. It is substantially higher than every quarter we've seen since 2006. Of course, that is subject to change. The revenue beat rate, a little bit lower than the last 2 quarters, still ahead of most quarters since 2011, though. It stands at 68.6, and it's just remember that it's early. And also, forward guidance has been fairly negative this season. Not a great sign, but there's a lot of turmoil and junk in the political and the news lately, and I think that it sounds like some of the companies are even buying into this, so let's see how it shakes out this week. And I think it was Chuck that mentioned big week, and this a lot will change during the next 5 to 7 days.
You hear me periodically kind of razzing the market or the experts or whatever, because when you're giving out the winners and losers on the economic data front most weeks, there'll be at least one or two of them that are so stupid because the math doesn't work is the reason one of them is, but some of them are, well, they're based on these expectations that are absolutely ludicrous. So, of course, they didn't beat it. And that's part of what's going to happen now with the diminished expectations going into Q3. We'll probably beat the heck out of it.
It's very possible. We'll see. But you can't even begin to guess Q3 until we've seen all of Q2. So.
Which is why I say we don't predict the market and base our portfolio design on that prediction because we're not good enough and nobody else is either.
No, it doesn't happen. Studies show that if you beat the market 1 year, there's a very strong chance you will underperform it by a pretty wide margin the next year.
That's right. All right, lines are open, 222-8255. Inflation, part two. Inflation is a cycle like everything else in economics, business, all that. And it has a three-stage lifespan. Stage one, it starts in the early part of things, manufacturing, production, and so on, when all of a sudden producers are paying more for the raw goods. And boy, did we see that in the prices paid index this past week, went up just sharply higher. But it's been going on for quite some time. So we have passed that now. It takes 6 to 8 months for that to work through, and that has actually happened. Now, the second part is the move, which took place in 11, and it's still happening now when the price of the finished goods, in other words, there's a manufacturing cycle, so they start to pay more for goods. They don't raise their price the second the goods come in. The only people that are good at doing that are gas station owners.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a reason, too. That tank's going to empty itself and be replaced at more money. So,
inelastic demand.
Exactly right. So we are in that. You're starting to see it trickle down in the producer price index and that sort of thing. And then you get down to level three, and this is when it becomes a problem. And this is where we're headed unless I am absolutely crazy. And that's when the price of finished goods remain elevated so long that people start to demand raises and higher wages. Now, you've seen wages start to move up. That's we're entering that part. But it hasn't become a big deal yet. And it's partly because of the masking of the numbers that's done, as Adam points out, so frequently, because older people at their peak earning power are leaving the market, being replaced by the younger people who are just beginning their earning. Every time one of those swaps takes place, wage averages go down a little bit, even though you might be paying the rookie a heck of a lot more than you would have 2 years ago. So you can't take this all cast in stone. But what's happening now, and you can see it in layoffs and things like that, the worker, in other words, labor is starting to get its returns again. I've talked in the past about the factors of production, land, labor, capital, and entrepreneurship. But land and capital have been paying for themselves pretty well for the last 10 years or so. Labor has been left behind over the last 10 years. And entrepreneurs, of course, have been making all kinds of money as business conditions improve and markets improve and so on. So what's happening now is labor is playing catch-up, and that is the real sign. Now you know we're heading into an inflationary cycle. Now, last week I talked about it quite a bit, but I didn't get around to telling you what to do about it. So I'm going to, right after this break, I'm going to recap the premise from last week. And by the way, if you go to our website, VanWeFinancial.com, my blog from last week is called In Praise of the Chapwood Index. The Chapwood Index is what I call the true measure of inflation, and that's the one that showed Jacksonville last year had an 8.6% cost of living increase, not the 2 or 2.5% that the government is reporting, and that is very common. And it's all in there, and I'll kind of pick up right on top of the Chapwood Index after the break and tell you the things that you can do as an individual investor to help yourself get through a period of inflation without actually losing your purchasing power. There are a few things that actually love it when inflation is rampant again. So with that in mind, we will have a pretty thorough analysis of what to do about it as soon as we come back. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results. And you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
This segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Give Troy a call at 662-9794. All right. Inflation. It, the arch enemy of people my age, obviously, and of everybody who is on a fixed income. So last week I started talking about how the Consumer Price Index is what the government uses to measure inflation, and it ought to be accurate, right? Yeah, right. It ought to be is the right thing. Since the government is charged with the production of the Consumer Price Index, it might be interesting to note who charged them with it. They did. They have an inherent conflict of interest in producing accurate numbers. That conflict of interest comes from the extra costs that they would be paying in terms of Social Security recipients, interest on tips, and all kinds of things.
And this problem has, or this conflict of interest has grown over time.
Yes.
So today it is so big that the numbers, we just can't even visualize what the numbers would actually be.
Oh.
If they indexed Social Security to inflation, actual inflation. Oh, my gosh.
They're prolonging the bankruptcy of America for how long? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, there's only three ways to get out of debt, and they're not taking any of them except the inflationary part. We print money and pay your bills. But I'll get to more of that, too. Why didn't, for the last 10, 11 years, why didn't we hear much about this? Well, the genesis of all the no inflation talk, as well as the ZIRP, zero interest rate policy, was back in the housing crisis of 07 when things fell so much. Because housing is the biggest cost in the CPI, they were able to look us in the eye and tell us, well, we're not going to pay anything on tips because inflation is going negative, things like that. Well, anybody who was buying anything that wasn't a home or an apartment or a condo knows that that was about the only thing going down, except when oil plummeted and our gas tanks got a little cheaper. All those things are behind us now, and it's getting harder and harder. And the government trying to fix it, if I may, has started doing the Social Security COLAs on something called the chained CPI, which means it factors in changes in behavior. When something gets too expensive, we buy something cheaper. Well, the Federal Reserve has its own way of masking that also. It's called the PCE, or personal consumption expenditure. The purpose of the core PCE is to have the Fed look at the numbers and produce the number that they're estimating. So if they say we want to target 2, guess what it's going to come out? It's going to come out 2. It's just like the Chinese GDP. Well, China, what do you think the number will be next quarter? Oh, probably 7%. Okay, China thinks it's 7%.
Yeah.
Real number comes out a month later. What is it? 7%?
Imagine.
It's incredible. These people's forecasting ability is just amazing. Anyway, there are two kinds of economists. The ones who are correct are called monetarists. That's the Milton Friedman, von Mises, that group, Friedrich Hayek. And the other ones are the Keynesians, like Keynes and Paul Krugman, who has yet to be right about anything despite his Nobel Prize in economics. In fact, he predicted, if Trump won the election, that the stock market would tank. And he said, how long will it take for it to come back? And his answer was, never. Okay, Paul.
No bias there, though.
Don't buy the book. I assume he's got a book. I don't know. I wouldn't buy it. Anyway, it's because of all these reasons that Ed Butowski developed the Chapwood Index to tell us what's really going on out there. And when you read it and read about the methodology, you'll be nodding as you go through it. There's a great explanation. Just Google it. It'll come right up. And in Jacksonville, it is one of the cities they track. So I know it's pertinent. It comes directly to us with our own set of numbers. So what does it mean? I'm not teaching a class in economics. I'm actually here to talk about investing, and so we'll talk about investing.
So
there
what do you
are
do?
Some things.
What do you buy?
Well, the general investments that love inflation are called commodities or other alternative investments. Food, energy, metals, real estate. Personally, I consider real estate a commodity if it's not your primary residence, and then I don't consider it an investment. I consider it a lifestyle addition. So I don't include personal residences as an investment. So let's start with commodities. Most people don't want to buy commodities directly because, hey, how many pork bellies can one family consume, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have to take delivery on a contract for pork bellies.
Yeah, how about a train load of corn dumped on your front lawn?
No.
Probably not. So what do we do about it? Well, most investors will use options, index funds, or some other form of ownership for commodities. And our wonderful, flexible markets happen to have made this easy. And where there's a void, some smart person is going to step right in and fill it. The general commodities index can be purchased in any number of exchange-traded funds. I use, just out of force of habit, there's nothing special about it, the one called DBC.
Aha. Uh-huh. But let me throw this in there. You should actually not buy that. You should buy DBAC. Okay. It is DBC without a K-1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. And yeah, we'll get into the tax ramifications of that. But that would be very pleasant for me, for you, and for everybody listening, because K-1s are just that one more
pain
at tax time every year. Anyway, they are all basically the same in that they use options to estimate or depict which way the commodities are going. The reason I like the ETFs is very simple. They're marketable. Here I have to back up a little bit. Most people misunderstand the term liquid, the term marketable. Liquidity implies that you can sell something instantly, turn it into cash, and not lose a penny of principal. Marketable is exactly the same thing, disregarding that part about your principal. You can sell it immediately at the market price. You could make money, you could lose money. It's irrelevant, but it's still marketable. Unlike a hunk of real estate where you actually own it, and that is neither, because it can't be done quickly, and it can't, you can't guarantee anything about the prices. Although it does tend to go up over time, which is wonderful for homeowners, is it not? So when it comes to real estate, there are actually three ways to own it virtually, in other words, electronically. And those three ways would be to either have a mutual fund, a real estate exchange-traded fund, or a REIT. When I'm investing in real estate as an asset class, as part of my asset allocation, I prefer the REITs because they're a little bit special in a couple ways. But first, let's break them down. REITs come in three basic forms. Mortgage REITs, which own, guess what, mortgages, and equity REITs, which own the properties, and the hybrid REITs, which can have both in the same REIT. I prefer equity REITs because they have that one nice thing about them. If the property appreciates in a rising market, your REIT is going to appreciate as you get your quarterly dividends, some of which are pretty nice. So it's all of those things wrapped together that makes me want to be a real estate investor, not with my name on the title, but electronically. I just don't ever want to be called the L word again in my life, and a lot of people are like that. L stands for landlord. Ooh, I just shudder. Precious metals, one of the most sought-after investments. A lot of people like to buy the physical ones. You're inundated on TV all the time with the physical metals, buy this, buy that. I don't like that so much. Yeah, it's pretty, it feels good and all that, but when it comes time when you know you ought to be selling it, you take it out and you look at it and you think about going out to Acorn or something like that, and you say, nah, this is kind of pretty. Whereas if you own it in an exchange-traded fund, you just get on the computer, hit the sell button, and bang, it's gone. If you're going to invest in metals, decide how low you want to buy them and how high you want to sell them, and be prepared to do so in both directions, because buying low and selling high is the only thing in investing that will never change if you want to be a successful investor. All right, that's why the little guys, for those of you playing the home game, we love the ETFs, IAU, GLD, SLV, that sort of thing, and you can always call us and talk more about them if you want. One more word on gold. You hear many commercials nowadays for gold IRAs. I would not touch them. I have not yet proven to myself that the government has made that legal following years and years of it not being legal to have physical possession of the gold in your IRA. If you want to talk about that, you can call us too. All right.
One quick note. I said DBAC. It's actually PDBC is the no K1 commodity.
Great, yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, there are two other things that love inflation. The first one is TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds. You can buy those in a number of ETFs. The easiest one to remember is TIP. Pays you monthly, has two components of return for the underlying interest and the inflation rate. The other thing that loves inflation is the stock market. Mm-hmm. If you buy the general stock market, the one Adam likes is the whole darn thing. Over time, inflation rises, numbers get bigger, profits get bigger, and the index will rise. Pretty hard to beat that one, isn't it?
Definitely.
So that's what you do about it. Well, we'll see you next week. This has been a lot of fun. Congratulations to the winners, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour.